Well, in just a short time, we're going to have. Thank you. We're going to have the sunset, and we hope we can see the new moon, because that would begin the day known as the Day of Trumpets. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. And I'd like to begin there. Notice verse 23. Leviticus 23:23. It reads there, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation." So this starts off with the seventh month, and if we see the new moon tonight, we probably can claim it is the seventh month, usually by the blowing of a trumpet. I want you to notice something we'll just kind of include here. Hold your thumb here. We'll go to the book of Job, chapter 38. The Jews, in their writings, contend that Job here is talking about creation, and he's actually talking about the Day of Trumpets. So over here in Job 38, we are going to read there about the creation account. Beginning there with verse 1, it says that Yahweh is speaking. And he says, speaking out of the whirlwind, answered Job, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now your loins like a man, for I will demand of you, answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof, if you know, or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and the sons of Elohim shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as it issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud of garment thereof, and the thick darkness of swaddling a band for it, and break up from my decreed place, and set the bars and doors, and said, Hitherto will you come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed." And he goes on to talk about the creation. So the Jews feel that this has something to do with creation. Another interesting point, go over to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, almost in the end of the Old Testament. And in the book of Zephaniah, we find a little different approach to this. Zephaniah chapter 1. And move down to verse 14. Zephaniah 1:14. "The great day of Yahweh is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of Yahweh. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities, against the high towers." Here we have the day of trumpets actually being a day of misgiving. It says a day of distress, a terrible time. And I want to point out something interesting. The feast days in Leviticus 23 and Passover, the 14th and the 21st, are 14th is at the new moon, or I mean the full moon. And the last day, the seventh day, the 21st from the 15th, of course, is at the end of the bright, shining moon night. The same with tabernacles. It begins on the 14th, which is the new moon day. Full moon day. I'm thinking about the new moon tonight. I can't get it off my mind. Anyway, my point is that the tabernacles is the 14th, a full moon, a bright night, and the 21st is also fairly bright. Tonight it'll be dark. There'll be no moon shining except for a thin sliver of light. And we have a very slim chance of seeing it up here in Missouri. It should be seen in Arizona. Should be seen in southern New Mexico and California and Arizona. So what we have here is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, possibly. The other thing is, there's also a thought and a firm belief by some people that Yahshua is going to return on the Day of Trumpets. It could be. We don't know for sure. But in Yahweh's timetable, it might be the beginning of the Feast of the Seventh Month. And if that happens, I want you to think about this. Just suppose that Yahshua does come. I don't think he'll come tonight. There's a few more prophecies yet to be fulfilled. But supposing he were to come tonight, what would happen? Number one, the righteous dead would be raised to spirit beings. The physical righteous that are still living would be changed immediately and made spirit beings. Yahshua would sit on his throne. He'd be crowned king. So we have a king being made. We have the people being resurrected. But also there are some more things that are going to happen at that time. Yahshua is going to return. And we also find that it'll be a day of wrath. In fact, if you go back and read the book of Revelation, by the time you start reading the 8th chapter of Revelation, you wonder, well, how can there be any people left when you get to the end of the book? Because it looks as if out of, say, we have 6 billion people here on earth, about 4 billion will be dead by the time the end comes and Yahshua comes to the earth. Only be a small group of people. But I want you to notice something else. Go over to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And here in the book of Revelation, I used to have a little problem with that. And the reason I did is because in Revelation 1 and verse 10, it reads there, I was in the Spirit on Yahweh's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Now there again, we're talking about a day that could well be the Day of Trumpets. But I remember that Elder Angelo Vitrena, he's one of the first ones that really took the King James Bible and restored the sacred names. And when he came to this verse here in verse 10, he claimed that this was a Sabbath day. And his thinking was that actually that this was a Sabbath and this was to show that Yahshua still was keeping the Sabbath and comes back on a Sabbath. Well, he might be. He might be coming back on an annual Sabbath. And also the other point is that when he does come back, that the things that are in the book of Revelation pertain to the great day of Yahweh Almighty. He is coming back and all that has to happen before he sets foot on this earth, which you read about in the 19th chapter of Revelation. But notice he talks about here the great voice of a trumpet. And you'll find that even in other places, Isaiah, for example, there are many times that this is mentioned. Let's go to Isaiah, and it's called the Day of Yahweh, Isaiah chapter 13. We're going to go through and mention some of these places. And the reason I want to do that is because they don't come right out and say, this is speaking about the Day of Trumpets. It's actually warning us that as we look forward to the Day of Trumpets, it's not going to be an easy time. A lot of people think, well, when Yahshua comes, it'll be peace and quiet, and we'll all be happy and roll around heaven all day and nothing to do. It's going to be just the opposite. It's going to be a terrible time. People wish they were able to die, and they can't die. Notice here in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6, holy, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. As long as you're here, go to the 34th chapter in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 34. And notice there. Here we read in verse 1, the invitation for the nations. Yahweh's warning to the world. He says, come near, you nations, and hear, and listen, you people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth out of it. For the indignation of Yahweh is upon all nations, his fury upon all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to a slaughter. Their slain shall be cast out. And their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. And their host shall fall down as the leaf falls in the vine, as a falling of fig from a tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. I want to make a little aside here. Notice it talks about Edomia here in verse 5. That's Edom. That's Esau. His sword is first going to come upon Edom. And you find that over in Isaiah 63, I think it is, where he talks about his Yahshua's his blood spattered on his clothes. And it comes because he goes to Edom first before he comes back to save the tents of Judah, as we read in the book of Zechariah. But he says it shall come down on Edom, upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of Yahweh is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats and the fat of the kidneys of rams. For Yahweh has a sacrifice in Bozra. Where's Bozra? Iraq, isn't it? A great slaughter in the land of Edom. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks and the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of Yahweh's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy. Now that's an interesting point he makes. A day of vengeance. Go over to Luke chapter 4. You find here that Yahshua was speaking in chapter 4, and he stopped right in the middle of a verse. And we just read the end of the verse that he didn't say, he didn't speak. Luke chapter 4. You find that in this verse, move down to verse 16, Yahshua came. We're in Luke 4:16. He was teaching in the synagogues, and he came to Nazareth. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. He worshipped on the Sabbath. Excuse me. Notice here, he stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the evangel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of Yahweh. That's as far as you read. But you go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, and you'll find there that he says, after the acceptable year, he talks about the day of vengeance. So if you're already there, you can read it, that exactly what happens. The day of vengeance is what he is going to do now. He's already fulfilled the first part. He's already come here and healed the brokenhearted. And he's shown us the way of life we're supposed to have, what we're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to be learning and being studying up on. But notice in chapter 61, in verse 2, he talks about to proclaim the acceptable year. What acceptable year is probably a sabbatical year. Now we're just finishing up with what we feel is a sabbatical year. That'll be on the Day of Atonement. The sabbatical year will be over. And I would not be at all surprised if it... I don't think he's coming tonight, but what I'm saying is that it will be a sabbatical year when Yahshua returns. But notice here in verse 2, the day of vengeance, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn, in verse 3, in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he might be glorified. Yahshua didn't say that, or read this part, when he was in the temple there in the book of Luke. But it is right from here, and this tells us that he came first as a prophet. He prophesied what was going to happen. 24th chapter of Matthew and Mark 13, Luke 21, they tell about what's going to happen. Then he also gave John the book and said, now this is the book of Revelation, and John wrote it down, and that's all prophecy. So his days of prophecy, you see, he spent. Now he's our high priest in the heavens. He's under the Melchizedek priesthood. And when we stumble and fall on our way to the kingdom, I should say, when we stumble on our way to the kingdom, that's about the way it is. We do things that are wrong and we don't know it, but we back up and try to do it right. And Yahshua says to the Heavenly Father, these people are striving hard. Heavenly Father, Yahweh, leave them alone. I'll have a messenger come and put a thought in their mind. They'll straighten out. He's our advocate. When we stumble and fall, he's the one that goes to Yahweh himself and pleads our case. That's what he's doing now. He's our priest, making intercession for us. So we find that there are other places. We went to Isaiah. Let's go over to the book of Joel. The book of Joel. After the book of Daniel, Hosea, and Joel. And Joel chapter 1. And notice here in verse 14. We really should back up here to 14 is okay. Sanctify you a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all inhabitants of the land into the house of Yahweh, your Elohim, and cry unto Yahweh. Alas for the day of Yahweh is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. What he's saying, there's more to come. He said it's going to be a terrible time. It's going to be worse. I've just told you a little bit. In chapter 2, again, blow the trumpet in Zion. In fact, Joel, the word Joel means actually, Yah is my El. Same as we find over in the book of Malachi, Elijah. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh comes, for it is nigh at hand. There are so many places when you read the day of Yahweh. Just look that up in your concordance. And it goes on and on and on about the day of Yahweh. Notice in verse 2 it says a day of darkness. Well, of course, it's a day of darkness. You can't even see the new moon, probably. Such a small center. And it's a thick darkness. As the morning spreads in the mountains, a great people and a strong. there has been never like it, neither shall there be any more after it, even to many generations. Here he's talking about the armies surrounding Jerusalem in Revelation 9 and also in Ezekiel. But he talks about a fire devours before them in verse 3, and behind them a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. So we find that this day of darkness refers primarily to the day of trumpets. Let's go to, chapter 3 in this book of Joel. And notice here in chapter 3, verse 11, assemble yourselves and come, all you heathen. Gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Yahweh. Let the heathen be wakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There will I sit to judge the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come and get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, and their wickedness is great. I was reading a commentary on this verse, and it was interesting that this verse says this is the price, or I should say it this way. Yahweh will save the first fruits, and they will be changed from mortal to immortality. Also, he has a harvest here, the harvest of the wicked. And here they are. The harvest is ripe. Talks about a harvest. Get you down, for the press is full and overflows, or wickedness is great. What that tells us, wickedness is going to get worse and worse. And the vats of blood overflow. There's going to be great destruction. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of Yahweh is near. Again, we're talking about the day of Yahweh. Verse 15, he says, the sun and the moon shall be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shining. Yahweh shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. So that is where he's going to start. He's going back there, going back to Jerusalem. And from there he'll come out and take care of the wicked around him. Yahweh shall be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass, well, it talks about the good things that's going to come, but not that same day. In the future, it will be different. But at that time, during the day of trumpet, it's going to be a rough time. But he's going to take vengeance. In fact, Yahweh always starts out, he tells you what's going to happen. And here again, in verse 18, he says, but don't worry, it's going to work out all right. I'll take care of it. And that's what he explains in verse 19 and 20. It's going to be all right. If you're doing his will, continue on. Occupy it till he comes. Let's go over to the book of Zephaniah. I think I meant Zechariah. I think Deacon Dave read chapter 14, but he didn't read verse 1, so we'll go back and read verse 1. Notice in Zechariah 14, verse 1, behold, the day of Yahweh comes, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of you. Now, in verse 2, he says, he will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Just when it looks as if there's no hope for Jerusalem is when Yahweh intervenes in verse 3. He goes forth and fights against the nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And in Matthew 24 and 27, it says it comes from the east. So we know then that Yahshua is coming, and then we find out he stands in that day on the Mount of Olives, and the great earthquake divides the top from the north, and the waters flow from the Mediterranean into the Dead Sea. Let's take a look at had a few more. In the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we had a big advantage in comparison to those that had only the Old Testament before the Messiah came and explained some of these things. But even now, some people don't believe in the New Testament. But we find we have a better explanation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice start with verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that are right unto you. You yourselves know perfectly well that the day of Yahweh, always the day of Yahweh, will come as a thief in the night. That doesn't mean he's going to come at night necessarily. It means he'll sneak up on us. We won't be expecting it. And all of a sudden, we realize this is the time. And if we're keeping his word, obeying his voice, doing the things he wants us to do, we'll be looking at the feasts that are in the seventh month. We're not certain exactly when he's going to come. But in the past, he's always come and made things happen on one of his feast days. We have four of them here. We have trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, and the last great day. So we have 4 days that this could well happen. But notice verse 3. It says, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It will be a sudden appearing of Yahshua when nobody expects him. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So Paul tells us about that. In fact, we should go back over here as long as we're in 1 Thessalonians. Notice again in chapter 4 and verse 15. For this I say unto you by the word of Yahweh, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Master shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For Yahweh himself, or this is Yahshua really, shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of Elohim, probably a ram's horn, a shofar. And when he comes back, it won't be a quiet or a secret gathering of the people. It'll be a trumpet blowing, a shout, the voice of the archangel, and probably the voice of the dead being raised to a spirit realm, shouting hallelujah to Yahweh himself for his goodness in calling us to do those things that he has written in his book. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the sovereign in the air. So shall we ever be with Yahshua. So Thessalonians talks about this, and we know that over to 2 Peter. You want to base everything on the Old Testament, but there's more in the Old Testament than there is in the New. But the New is very clear. So we go to 2 Peter, and in chapter 3, somewhere back here, and the pages tend to stick together. 2 Peter chapter 3. And notice verse 10. The day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night. It'll just creep up on us. All of a sudden it's there. Then he says, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. So when Yahshua comes back, you're going to hear a lot of noise, earthquakes, and the heavens passing away. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in your holy behavior and righteousness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of Elohim, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And then he goes on to talk about a new heaven and a new earth, where sin does not prevail anymore, only righteousness. So we find that there are many places in the New Testament that we can find these promises being fulfilled talking about the way it's going to be fulfilled, which was not always clear in the Old Testament. There's another phrase that is often used besides the day of Yahweh, and that is in that day. It often refers to the selfsame day. And also another phrase, at that time. I want to just touch on a few of them. Go back to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2, right? Isaiah probably has more prophecies on the end of the age than most people realize. Isaiah chapter 2, and I'll put in there verse 11. The lofty looks of a man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of Yahweh of hosts shall be upon one that is proud and lofty, and everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. You keep reading that, and it tells about the earthquakes in verse 13 and 14, the high mountains, and high towers will be taken down and so on. And then in verse 18, he talks about the idols going to be abolished. So there's no doubt in our minds talking about people trying to hide from Yahweh in verse 19. They can't do it because he's going to shake the earth with earthquakes, worse than we've ever had on our earth. These people are going to get rid of their idols and so on. Let's go, along as we're here, go down to, let's see, chapter 3, and notice in verse 7, in that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing, and so on. And in verse 18, we have it again. In that day, Yahweh will take away the bravery out of their tinkling and the ornaments about their feet and so on, and about their cowls and so on. So that actually Yahweh here talks about what he's going to do in chapter 4 and verse 1, in that day, continually. Well, my hope is that when you read Isaiah and it talks about in that day, or the day of Yahweh, the red flag will go up and say, oh, this is talking about the return of Yahshua. And probably it'll be easier to mark up your Bibles, too, if you know some of these things, and go ahead and mark it up. In Longs and Isaiah, I want to show you another one, and that's at that time. Go to verse or chapter 18 in the book of Isaiah. And verse 7. In that time shall the present be brought unto Yahweh of hosts, a people scattered and peeled from all people, terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation kneaded out and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place, the name of Yahweh of hosts, the Mount Zion. So we have many places where these they're not really secrets, but they're clues that we can use to study the Bible and know when we see something that says, at that time, especially in the Old Testament, or in that day, or the day of Yahweh. Now, I'd like to have you, I want to close with this. I could talk some more, but maybe we've got time tomorrow. I want you to go to the book of Malachi. Sometimes people want to know, do you really think all these things are important? Well, notice here in the book of Malachi, and verse 13 of chapter 3, excuse me, in Malachi 3:13, Yahweh says, your words have been stout against me, says Yahweh, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said it's vain to serve Yahweh. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? We have walked mourning mournfully before Yahweh of hosts. And now we call the proud happy, ye that work wickedness are set up, ye that tempt Elohim are even delivered. So people say, what good does it do to obey Yahweh and keep his commandments and do all these things? It seems like the wicked are prospering. We are not. Well, the next verse says, you're going to be written in a book. You know, the book of Acts has not been completed. You look at the end of the book of Acts, there's no amen there. None there for James either. And that book, chapter 19, might well be written, but notice here in verse 16, then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and thought upon his name. So when you fear Yahweh, you do his will. When you think about his name and how important it is, verse 17, Yahweh says, they shall be mine, says Yahweh, Yahweh of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Elohim and him that serves not. Well, he talks about the day coming in verse 1 of chapter 4. And he says there that it'll burn as an oven. Sometimes you wonder, we've had a summer with 80 and 90 degree heat all for about 3 months running, it seems like. Well, it could be worse. Notice here, it burns as an oven in this place. It says all around, or in chapter 4 and verse 1, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. In that day that comes shall burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts. It shall leave neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and shall go forth and grow up as calves in a stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In that day when I do this, says Yahweh of hosts, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah or Elijah, before the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of Yahweh, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. You might be interested to know that the Jews have changed verses 5 and 6 around. They don't want the Old Testament to end with a curse. So they talk about the day of Yahweh, and they change these around. That's the primary reason they've done it. Well, I think when we read the Bible and we know that the warnings are all there, and we also have the New Testament that we can use to back up these things, maybe in a better explanation, because Paul often talked about the mysteries that are in the Old Testament and what they really mean in the New, and he explained many of them, even in Thessalonians and other places, 1 Corinthians, so on. He's explained a little more of what the coming of Yahshua is. And this day that we'll be celebrating, probably tonight, hope somebody sees the new moon, will be the Day of Trumpets. It's to remind us that Yahweh's in control, he's in charge of this earth, and it'll work out for his honor and glory. I pray that we're all there when Yahshua comes. May Yahweh bless you. Amen.